Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. And you hear this from me every day, and it is true. I look forward to bringing you daily conversations that inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of God's very real presence in your life. Well, empathy is defined as follows. Have you heard this? The ability to understand and share the feelings of another. The ability to understand and share the feelings of another. Do you know that's not a personality trait? It's actually an invitation for us to participate like Christ in the sufferings of others. So I would go on to describe Christ-like empathy this way, to care about and to enter into a suffering that's not your own. Do you know studies show that while in some parts of the world suffering is on the rise, empathy overall is on the decline? Why do you suppose that is? It's kind of a don't know, don't care kind of thing, or I got enough problems of my own, can't really, you know, carry yours. Thank you very much. But, you know, we all carry a portion of the Lord's burden. We all carry a portion of his burden. There's a way to do this, to navigate life with Christ-like empathy. We don't have to do it all, but we can do for some that which we wish we could do for the masses. Well, my guest today says that empathy could actually save the world. Belinda Bauman joins me. Her book is titled Brave Souls, Experience the Audacious Power of Empathy. Christine Kane wrote the foreword on this book, and we've been so blessed by the generosity of the publishers we've been working with these days. InterVarsity Press has offered 6 copies of this hardcover book. 6 copies. So you can text or email to get in on the drawing. Text 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Put Brave Souls, also email middays@myfaithradio.com. Put Brave Souls in the subject line. Either way, please remember that mailing address, as we're not able to run and chase those addresses down. So we'll get Belinda on here in just a moment. But I spoke with my friend Bill Arnold recently about an upcoming Faith Radio event. So let's listen in. I'm so honored to have my good friend Bill Arnold, who hosts the afternoon show, on with me today. Bill, you're a dear friend and an amazing radio host. Thanks for joining us today.
And this afternoon seat is still warm from you doing the show for 8 years, Susie, so I'm glad to be here.
You're so kind. I appreciate you, and I love working alongside you. And we got to attend the first comedy night you guys did at the Twin Cities. And my husband and I, you know, were surrounded by over 700 people. It was absolutely packed. And I'm one of the great moments of the night was I was trying to squeeze through a row because I had to get up, and we were introducing the Faith Radio staff, and it was so packed I tripped over somebody and landed on the lap of a woman's husband, and I'm like, and I'm so sorry, and they're like, no, we're big fans of Faith Radio, it's really okay. So, but I want to tell you, it was just, you know, standing room only, and we belly laughed together. And on the way out, Kev and I were talking, and we're like, we're in a day where people need to laugh. Everywhere I turn, people were like, I haven't laughed like that in such a long time. So I'm saying all that to say it was just the most amazing night, and you guys did an amazing job.
Well, we had so much fun, and we're doing that, taking that show, that very show, to Fargo on May 31st at Bethel Church.
Well, tell us more about, you know, for those who are in Fargo wondering, should I attend this thing? What can they expect?
Well, it's going to be comedy, it's going to be storytelling, it's going to be music, it's going to be some ministry. It's going to be one of the nights where you laugh hysterically and you feel good about what you've laughed at. And that's Susie, right. You know, in this day and age, that comes along rarely, where the comedy's clean and funny.
That's exactly right. And you guys are all so talented. And one thing I told you when I ran into you at the station the next week after that event was, you know, you friends know Bill as a radio host, but way before you were a host, you were on stage. You're a performer. That's who you are. And I'm just was like reminded afresh of what a gifted performer you were made for that stage. And you act like you hate every minute of it. That's part of his shtick. You know, he's got this deadpan thing like, you people, I wish you'd all go away.
Yes.
So I go home.
I can't wait
but
to get
it
off
is
stage.
So, yeah. But you're made for the stage. I think it's amazing. What kind of feedback did you get from our first big comedy night?
We got so many letters from people saying we had no idea we were going to laugh the way we laughed in our group. We got all these couples together and we made it a night out, and we are still talking about it. So, you know, the nice thing about comedy when it's done really well is it has that lasting value where you're still laughing about it, you know, a year later.
What do you like about Michael and Bob's humor? I mean, as they're your buddies,
nothing.
Seriously. You're really mainly the fat funny.
Yeah, when I'm on, it's good. After that, I really don't care much.
Okay. Well, we know we're going to look forward to a really great night. So what do you want people to know about this upcoming event? Because they need to start getting their tickets like now, right?
Yeah, they jump on the website. You can go to myfaithradio.com and you can buy your tickets. It's going to be in the evening on Friday night, May 31st. It's going to be this great night of laughter, and you're going to just feel good, and you're going to walk out of there going, I can't even believe how much I needed this.
You know, there's ways you can waste money, then there's ways to spend it, then there's ways to invest it. And waste it, you get nothing for it. Some spending, you get something for it. Invest it, there's a return on the investment. And I will say, people walked away from this first comedy night feeling like that was worth every penny. And it was worth my time because I feel so nourished. And, you know, and truly, as someone who's very interested in physical health and the physiological impacts of our spiritual lives, it is laughter. It really is medicine. It's so good. It's healing for the brain. It's healing for the soul. And as you said, this is comedy you can count on. So friends, this isn't wasting your money. It's not even spending your money. I'm saying it's an investment. So plan a date night for Friday, May 31st, 7 p.m. Bethel Church in Fargo. Don't miss it. Bill and his friends. Bill's going to be amazing. His friends will be okay.
But, yeah, whatever.
But, you know, collectively, yeah, it'll be a decent
night. After I'm off stage, I don't care what happens.
Well, Bill, I love you to pieces.
Love you too, Susie.
And I thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks so much.
So that was my interview with my friend Bill. Is he not hilarious? Well, guess what, friends? This is real live radio. We're having a hard time getting connected to our guest, and we're going to take an early break. We're going to pause and pray and trust God that he's got a plan. You know, last time we did this, and we opened the phone lines and prayed for everybody. And if we need to do that, then that's what God wants us to do today. We're trusting his direction. I'm Susie Larson. This is Middays. Don't you love live radio? I do too. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, always honored to have you listening. And I set up the show earlier that we were going to talk about Brave Souls is the book. Belinda Bauman's a guest, but we're having a hard time getting a hold of her. Not sure what's going on. So guess what? We're going to roll with it. We're going to trust the Lord in this. So the phone lines are open. We're going to move into just praying. I love to pray. You know that. So I want to pray for you. How can I stand with you? Phone lines are open. If you get through, we'll get a book to you off of our Faith Radio shelf. We've got so many. We can't promise you which book it is, but we'll get you something. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. I'm going to share with you what God's been talking to me about. You know, one of the things that I pray about in my prayer time every morning, and you hear this from me because I weave it in a lot, and obviously I pray you don't tire of hearing of it, but I take communion a lot in my prayer time, and when I think about that Jesus broke the bread, you know, and then he gave thanks, I intercede for the brokenness in my own soul, for the friends who are suffering, either in broken relationships, broken health, broken, maybe they're battling mental illness. I pray for their healing and their wholeness. And then I pray for the brokenness in the body of Christ. And one of the things that it's not letting me go, so I feel like it is part of the call of God in my life, is to pray for that we would come together as a body of Christ and not be so judgmental against denominations. Now, I know there's a place and a purpose for the denominational thing, but when we toe the line for our denomination more than our Christianity, there's something wrong with that. And as someone who purposely crosses denominational lines as a speaker, and we've worked hard to build those relationships because we're so passionate about the body of Christ, you know, these people are so beautiful, and yet there are extremes in both spectrums that really, I don't want to say ruin it for everybody else, but cause a caricature. And so there's times when I'm in an ultra-conservative church where I'll hear jokes about charismatics, as if all charismatics are a certain way. And if I'm in on the other side and I'm at a charismatic church, they're beautiful, beautiful people who've experienced something of the Holy Spirit, and they just want more of God. But there might be some extremes who are generating something all the time that's not of the Lord, and that's what everybody points to. And then I'll hear from people like that were judging those who don't believe the gifts are for today, as if they're just on lockdown and they're substandard Christians. And, you know, I know I'm stepping on toes here, but I'm just wondering if all of us, if we could pray, just say, you know what? We want to know God. And there are people in these different denominations who sincerely want to know God. And there's always going to be, in every lane of life, people who take something to the extreme, and then everybody points to that to wipe out a whole people group or a whole tribe, saying this is what these people are like. And my request to you, wherever you land, is to humble yourself and listen. Befriend people from another denomination and say, tell me more about what you believe and what do we agree on, and how can we walk together in unity the way Jesus asked us to. I pray about it every single day because the world is watching, and I hear from unbelieving people who are saying, why would I come to Christ when I see how you guys treat each other? How you handle your differences? Why would I want to jump into that fray? So it's just a challenge. It's something I'm asking you to pray about, that we could just be clear that Scripture says we see as in a glass dimly. So that means we're all probably wrong about a few things. We don't see everything with perfect clarity. Nobody has the perfect corner on the truth. And so may we more identify with Christ and Scripture than we do with our denominational line. Stay in your lane, of course, but don't judge everybody outside the lane as if they're wrong and you know something they don't. God have mercy. Help us walk more humbly. Amen. Amen. Oh, looks like we've got our guests. So let me give Belinda a proper introduction. I'll get her on the show. Belinda Bauman is the founder of 1 Million Thumbprints, a movement of peacemakers advocating with women in the world's worst conflict zones. She's also the co-founder of hashtag Silence is Not Spiritual. It's a campaign calling churches to break the silence on violence against women. She and her husband, Stephen, whom I've also interviewed in the past, make their home with their two sons in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Belinda, we've got you. Yay.
Susie, thank you for finding me.
Well, we found you, and we're so glad we're not letting you go now. Good to have you. Good to have you. Well, we love to start every day talking Scripture, and you normally I ask about the verse, but you came armed with your verse, and I'm so grateful. Hebrews 4:15-16. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, but he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive mercy and find grace to help us when we need it most. Talk to us about that passage, if you would.
I like the NIV version, mainly because it opens with this idea that, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. That word empathize really doesn't show up in its fullness, in its full etymology, anywhere in Scripture except here. And it's this idea of the incarnation. And I know we all, your listeners, yourself, I have just done the long walk from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. And that that depth of feeling that we have in remembering that Jesus had a body, that he was in a body, that that body looked a lot like our bodies, and that that made him able to deeply empathize with our experiences, with our weaknesses, with our pain, with the things that we're tempted by. His life here on earth was one of being a brave soul. That gives us the confidence to go to our Father the way that he went to his Father and say, oh my gosh, I know this isn't going to shock you off your throne, God, that when I say what I'm struggling with to you out loud in the confidence of knowing your son understands and he intercedes for me, I can reach out both at a time when I need grace and at a time when I need mercy. When I'm at my lowest, when I'm at my grumpiest, when I'm at my most judgy, I can say, I know that you wrestled with this too, and God, help me. That there's no shame in our embodied experience here on this earth, because Jesus, who is our high priest, was embodied, and he is able to empathize with us. For me, that makes the incarnation the fullest expression of the empathy of God, the quintessential apex example throughout history, theology, science, and our real lived lives here on Earth.
Well, Belinda, thank you for that. I'm excited to dig into the content of your book, Brave Souls, all about empathy. When we thought we weren't going to get you, we opened the phone lines for prayer requests. And so I want to practice empathy, if you don't mind. We've got a couple of people with some significant needs that we really want to pray for, and then we'll dig into the content, if that's okay. Matt and Karina, yeah. We're going to take Matt, who's calling from Burnsville, Minnesota right now. Matt, thanks for holding. You're on the air. How can we help you today?
Ironically, so much of that verse spoke to where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. So I just love how the Holy Spirit moves. But thank you very much for taking my call. My call was really just, I guess my need right now is just prayer around being in a dry season of life, just feeling like I've been going through the motions, you know, through just kind of in life specifically, and a feeling or a season of unbelief and doubt that has kind of crept up out of nowhere. But I know that it's something that's a part of, you know, everybody's walk, but it's mm-hmm. just a struggle to have to go through. And so that's really what I wanted, you know, to lift up to you guys to pray for me for.
Well, Matt, I love your honesty and humility, and I'm so grateful that you drew near, because the tendency in those times is to isolate. Exactly what the enemy wants you to do is isolate. And I'm just listening to Belinda talk about how to pray that prayer, you know, that, you know, Jesus has felt what I felt. You've been here, Father. You know how your son felt and how I feel, that you can come to that throne of mercy. And Belinda, I'm wondering if you just have a word for Matt, and then we could pray for him.
Absolutely. Matt, this Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 ends with this incredible statement to us who have placed our faith both in good and bad moments in Christ. And it says we receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. And brother, you are absolutely not alone in feeling as if this moment in time is one of need. The cultural chaos that exists around us, the dissonance that we feel in our human experience, and a lot of times the distance that we feel from God takes a toll on our soul. So, brother, if I could just say, gather up your sorrows and take them to the throne. Father, I pray, I intercede for my brother as Christ intercedes, that as he approaches your throne in this moment of need, that he would be received by your son as one who knows, with that deep feeling of, it's dark in here, I know where the light is. And together, Jesus and he would find the light, that it would go far beyond just a feeling of contentment or far beyond just a conviction of normality, but it would be a deep-rooted, grounded place for him to live every day in the faith that God has given him. In Jesus' name.
Father, I echo that. Just pray that that your presence would be so tangible to Matt that he would know, as Belinda said, he's so not alone. He's part of the community and the family of faith. I pray he'd feel the warmth of your son just shining on his face, and I pray he would sense your affection in his heart, and I pray that you'd move him through this season with a tangible sense of your goodness and your favor over his life. We commit him to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, dear Matt. Thank you for calling.
Tremendous blessing. Thank you so much.
I'm really honored you called. God bless you. All right, Karina. She's calling in from Sun Prairie. I just got to say, we've got about 3 minutes to a hard break at the bottom of the hour, but I want to make sure we get her covered here. Hi, Karina. It's Susie and Belinda. You're on the air.
Hi.
How can we help you today?
I recently have been battling with mental illness. I've been battling with it since I was a teenager. but recently committed suicide, or tried to commit suicide, and was in the hospital at the beginning of the month for a couple days. And I'm kind of lost and just need some faith to find my way.
Hmm. Thank you for calling, Karina. Belinda, what do you want to say?
Oh, Karina, it is a really interesting moment to be here on this earth. There is layers and layers of pain that we encounter every day in our own lives, in the lives of our communities, in the lives of our world. And we can't turn on the television set and not be overwhelmed. I get that feeling. I get the places that we go in our own minds and our own hearts that are dark. But as I was saying, this place that Jesus has walked is a dark place. I've walked some pretty dark places in my own life, and he's really the only one that knows where the light is, sister. And I know you know that, but if Susie and I can encourage you to approach the throne of grace boldly and ask for Jesus to help you find that light, where is the light switch, God? Where is that place so that I can just see one step ahead of one step at a time as I walk through each day. If I could pray for you, as I did a little research for this book on empathy, I realized that the pain centers in the brain that feel depression, that feel despair, are really actually pretty much the same pain centers that we have when we feel actual physical pain in our body. And so if I could just pray for your pain, would that be all right?
Yes.
Karina and Belinda, we have a hard break coming, so I want you just to hold because I don't want you to be rushed because we'll be cut off otherwise. So hang on, Karina. We're just going to be out for about a minute and a half, and then Belinda is going to pray, and I'm going to pray for you. And I just feel like this is a divine appointment. We're going to talk about the content of Belinda's book. We've got 6 copies. Text or email if you want in. I mean, as you can tell from Belinda's voice, this woman, God has cultivated empathy in her, and we need it in the body of Christ today. 6 copies. So text 877-933-2484 if you want in on the drawing, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. Phone lines are open. If we can pray for you today, 877-933-2484. We're praying for Karina when we come back, and we will get into this content. It's really important stuff. More with Belinda Bauman in just a moment. Tuning into Middays, I'm Susie Larson. My guest today is Belinda Bauman, and her book is titled Brave Souls, Experiencing the Audacious Power of Empathy. Christine Kane wrote the foreword. We've got 6 copies to get into your hands. As I say, this is one of the best-kept secrets. Every single day on Middays, we give away amazing books. You can text your address, 877-933-2484, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. At the beginning, we opened the phone lines just to take some prayer requests, and Karina called from Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, about just battling some mental illness, some depression, and suicide attempts. And I've asked her to hold because Belinda and I really want to pray with her and for her. And Belinda, you'd said before the break, you really wanted to pray about that pain, that the pain center in the brain that a person feels when they're depressed is very much similar, the same as the person who's feeling physical pain. Is that right?
It's true. Yeah. It mirrors that same pinching, aching, deep pain that we can feel when our body feels pain. And that's why it's easy to say that depression hurts. It physically hurts. And approaching Jesus with our physical pain sometimes is so much easier. Our sore throat, our earache, our headache, our cancer, our we have permission to acknowledge physical pain in our world, but acknowledging our emotional, mental, or even our spiritual pain is a lot harder. Not just because it's invisible, but because it's harder for other people to understand. But the good news, Corrine, is that Jesus was in a body here on earth, and he knows that dark place. He knows that spiritual, emotional, mental pain. In fact, he experienced it to such an extent in the Garden of Gethsemane that people that looked at him probably thought he could have died from it. Yet he cried out to his Father. I think in the same way that Hebrews 4:15-16 encourages us to cry out in our pain, to approach the throne of God saying, I don't have a God that is far from me. He knows this. He is not surprised. And he knows how to take my hand and help me. So, Father, we pray. We reach across this wire and lay our hands on our sister now, standing with one hand on her and one hand on you, asking, Father, as you have knit her together, her neurons, her thoughts, her soul, her brave soul, I pray, Father, that the pain that she feels would be touched by you, would be moved by you, would become either your instrument to draw her close, or eliminated by you as you have made her, as you have known her history, as you have walked with her since she was conceived. May she now feel your hand on her as Susie and I pray, interceding for her pain. In your name, Jesus.
Amen. And Corrine, as I'm listening to Belinda pray, I'm just undone by, I've just so sensed God's love for you. And as I'm hearing it through Belinda, I mean, his affection for you is so profound. And of course, the enemy would want you to end your life because he's so threatened by you if you live. And Lord, I do pray. I thank you that you've appointed her for such a time as this. The fact that she's got breath in her lungs means you've got things for her to do. I pray by the power of your spirit, you'd lift her chin and you'd speak to her heart, and she would feel quickened in her physical mortal body, the power of the Holy Spirit, quickening her to life and giving her a heart for life. And I pray you take what the enemy has meant for evil and you would turn it for good. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commit this dear sister to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, honey. Bless you.
Thank you.
Wow. Good to talk with you, Corrine. I want to make sure you get a copy of Belinda's book, so stay on the line and get Carissa your address. You know, this show is taking a completely different turn than we'd planned, but I always want to be flexible with where God takes us, Belinda. I just love you already, and we haven't even talked about your book yet, but
Amen.
We've lived it a little bit. You are a treasure, and I'm just kind of undone by what God has just done here. But let's do this, because I'll probably start crying again. But, you know, you open the book with a Mother's Day when your dear husband and sons bring you a breakfast in bed, and it kind of wrecked you. Tell us that story, if you would.
Sure. You know, most of us, you know, a lot of us just experienced our Mother's Days. And I just want to acknowledge, as we talk about Mother's Day, I am on a journey with several friends where Mother's Day is probably their most painful day.
Yeah.
And so even though it was, it started out for me as the wonderful Hallmark moment, my own story intersects Mother's Day with pain. So my husband's, you know, was running down. I remember him most clearly running down the stairs to turn the fire alarm off because the boys were burning the toast. But I had my coffee and I was good. And right next to my coffee, my husband had slid an article. And it comes out every year. It's by Save the Children. And the article is entitled, The World's Worst Place to Be a Mother. It's kind of an interesting turn on Mother's Day. However, this year, the year that he slid this next to my coffee, it was the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And as I read this article, my heart leaned in instead of leaning back. I do remember thinking, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Everybody else has got, you know, Hallmark cards and day spa, you know, gift cards, and I've got this article. But my husband and my boys know me well, and by the end of that breakfast, I was, I don't know if there's a better word other than smitten with the strength and courage of these mothers who spend every day living in an active conflict zone to bring peace and welfare and hope to their families, husbands, children, their communities that they live in. And I just knew that I needed to meet them. My soul needed to meet their souls.
Tell me about Esperance, a woman you met.
Yeah. So that Mother's Day certainly was ordained of God, because the mom that I met literally stopped my life and flipped it on its ear. Pretty much everything about the direction that I was going in my life changed the day that I met Esperance. Now, I think most people that would be listening to this story, Susie, might pick up my book and think, oh, yeah, I've heard this one before, right? This is sheltered white woman shocked into reality after meeting a war survivor in Congo. I've read that book a couple times, or I've read the article. I don't really need to know. And if you're rolling your eyes, I would probably roll my eyes too at that. However, it was absolutely not my story. By the time that little article, my husband slipped that little article next to my coffee, I had lived in and out of conflict zones for almost 10 years, active conflict zones and post-conflict. I had been a Christian for 30. And you would think that my own response to other people's pain in this world would be a lot more mature than it was, but it wasn't. And I'm happy to discuss that in a little bit. But before I do that, I want to discuss, instead of discussing the disruption, I want to discuss who disrupted me. I ended up on a plane with my dear friend Lynn, and we
Lynn Hybels, by the way.
Yeah. Lynn Hybels, yep. And she said, if this is really going on in Congo, if the UN considers this the second largest UN outreach in the world, if it's true that rape is cheaper than bullets, if it's true that 8 out of 10 women in the area that we were going to have experienced multiple cases of rape ages 2 to 72, then why have we, particularly as the body of Christ, not heard about this for the sake of our sisters and then been willing to do something about it? So we grabbed some of our dear friends and went. which is a little crazy because it really was an active war zone. As we were driving out from our visit with my dear friend Esperance, there was M23 soldiers marching into the area. So it was not as simple as, she was pretty protected and she just had her first taste of reality. No, this was more than that. Esperance lived in this cauldron of chaos. She had children. She had a loving husband, and she had to flee her community when rebels overtook her village in order to access the rich mineral wealth that was there. As she fled, she lost track of two of her children. And before we judge Esperance, fleeing is a real concept. I think if we could just imagine what it means to wake in the middle of the night and hear gunfire, to grab your children, to keep a baby quiet as you and your family try to make it through the dark with just your bedclothes on and what little food and water you could grab, we would be a little bit more empathetic for how the chaos of everyone doing that, you can lose track of those you love. So she had the sorrow of losing track of two of her children. Mm-hmm. She made it to a safe haven, and there her and her husband settled in hopes of trying to find their other children, as well as wait for the conflict in their village to settle down. As they were there, they had to travel into the Virunga National Forest, where they would gather these enormous, like 6-foot tree branches that they would turn into charcoal to sell. That would supplement the very small food stipend that they would have from the UN. The region they landed in, the UN was already 9,000 people over the legal limit of who was meant to be in the refugee and IDP camps. So resources were scarce. As they were gathering firewood that day, they heard the two rebels sneak up on them before they saw them, the clink of gun against machete. And because Esperance had the wood on her back, it was a hindrance, it was a burden, and she couldn't turn around fast enough. But as she did, she saw her husband shot, dragged into the forest, and she knew she was alone. The two rebels stripped her, they beat her, and then they violently raped her, leaving her for dead, unable to move, unable to call out, feeling utterly abandoned by everyone and God himself, until Esperance says, that her sisters who found her in the forest were the ones that rescued her, that saved not only her physical life, but saved her spiritual life, her trust that she was seen and known by God. They were lay trauma counselors sent out by the local church, by their pastor. They were trained in trauma counseling, and their job on this earth was to go into the forest to find women like Esperance, because they too had once been like Esperance. They took her to the local clinic, stayed with her for the months that it took to receive rape kit treatment. They stayed with her for another 9 months as she decided to bring her child, David, into this world. And they stayed with her for another 12 months as her dear friend, as she herself trained to become a lay trauma counselor who would then go into the forest and find women like her. It wasn't Esperance's pain and suffering that impressed me, Susie. It was her response to her pain and suffering that utterly undid me.
We have to pause here for a break. I wish we didn't, but we do. But this is just amazing, talking to Belinda Bauman about her book, Brave Souls, Experiencing the Audacious Power of Empathy. Again, we have 6 copies. We'd love to get one into your hands. You can text or email. Text 877-933-2484. Please remember your mailing address or email middays@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. Welcome to Middays. I'm talking to Belinda Bauman about her really radical, raw book, Brave Souls, Experiencing the Audacious Power of Empathy. This book will wreck you. It'll disrupt your comfortable Christianity. It will call you up to something much, much greater than you imagined. And we're called to things greater than we imagined. Thanks to University Press, we've got 6 copies. I would love to get one into your hands. Please text your address, 877-933-2484, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. Before the break, Belinda, you're telling us about Esperance and her unbelievable story. I mean, our show has taken on so many twists and turns, unexpected today, but I'm trusting God's in it and really guiding and guarding us. You talked about in the book the capacity of not only Esperance, but other women that you met, their capacity to forgive their perpetrators and even reconcile with their enemies. Tell me what you've seen.
There was a moment those days that we spent with Esperance in the Democratic Republic of Congo, we were able to interview a number of women who had experienced gender-based violence as a tool of war, which was a spectrum of violence against women that made my ears ring. And it was confounding to me that we as a community of faith, no matter what our denomination or what our take on prayer or healing or conflict in this world is, that we didn't know more and we didn't care more about the plight of women in conflict zones. Their lives are hard, and not just hard. They are some of the bravest souls I know. After interviewing these women, Lynn and I came back and asked ourselves a strategic question. You know, what is ours to do? Well, that answer came to me in a really, I'm going to say, in an extremely supernatural way, because it's the moment in my life that just stopped everything. I was an educator. Actually, I still am an educator, but I was teaching at the time, finishing a master's degree in curriculum design. I had been involved with my husband and my family in community development for about 20 years by that time. And I opened my email inbox about a week after we came back from Congo. Lynn and I were writing an article on Mother's Day in a war zone, and we had carefully asked for permission to be able to tell Esperance's story in whatever way she wanted it told, in her perspective, in her words, with her name, without her name, with her context, without her context. It was her choice. As she sat with her pastor with this kind of formal permission slip, he kind of says that she got a little feisty and flipped it over after several days of just contemplating what this meant. She flipped it over and she had him write, because she's pre-literate herself, had him write, "Tell the world my story." And because she can't write her name, she took the thing that identifies her the most accurate biometric identifier that the UN recognizes, that the Congolese government recognizes, that she can be identified alive or dead by. She took her thumbprint and she placed it right under that mandate. That is what landed in my inbox. And when I clicked on it and it opened to me, it was almost like God saying, Belinda, what was an option for you is now your mandate. You have been commissioned and blessed by your sister. Now go and bear witness. And that was the birth for Lynn and I of 1 Million Thumbprints. We've been collecting or bearing witness to women's stories in war zones like South Sudan, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Syria. I was just in Aleppo a month and a half ago collecting stories there. As we bear witness to the actual lived, embodied lives of these women, as we witness their thumbprints in this world, we can add our own thumbprint as we sit in our kitchens, as we sit at our desks, as we sit in carpools, as we watch the news that disrupts our lives, as we suffer in our own places of the world, we can take an understanding of their lives and our own lives, and together our thumbprints can say, but God. That's what Esperance would say. God sought her out. God found her in her most tragic circumstance. And it was God through his sister, his daughters, and the church that brought this woman experiencing gender-based violence in a conflict zone to a place of healing, of loving her son born of rape, and reconciling in her own heart with her perpetrators, wow, knowing that she could not let the bitterness and complexity of what she had experienced overwhelm her soul. She had too much work to do. And there were too many women that needed her, very much like what you prayed for, Corrine. That there is, that was Lynn and I's prayer. What is ours to do, God? And it showed up in a thumbprint, in an email, with permission. Bear witness to the world of what's going on in gender-based violence against women up there in conflict zones, but even here in our own backyards. Not easy to look at, but God has given us this tool of empathy so that we can do it.
Wow, there's so many more questions I have, but our time is up. Belinda, I hope we can talk again. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for lending your voice to this clarion cry. And I pray we would be sufficiently disrupted that we could all engage and carry a portion of God's burden and do what he's asking us to do. Belinda, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was an absolute honor, Susie. And anytime you want to have this conversation or anytime you want to pray together, I am so in, sister.
I'd love to have you back. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I pray you found some encouragement and some disruption today. Appreciate you so very much. And we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.